Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you locate in your Bible Genesis chapter 5, and as we begin to do and engage in this new study on seeing being God's hero, we'll start with the life of a man named Enoch. It may also be helpful for you to find this piece of paper in your order of service there entitled, Like Enoch, Walk by Faith with the Lord. And this will be our focus today. I want to ask you a fun question. What is your favorite exercise? What is your favorite exercise? Bud Wilkinson, the famous college football coach, he was asked once about exercise in college football, and he said, here's the problem with college football. He said, on any given Saturday, you have 60,000 people who desperately need exercise watching 22 guys who desperately need rest. That's the story. What's your favorite exercise? Well, maybe your favorite exercise is running, biking, maybe it's swimming, maybe you do a few calisthenics, you know, jumping jacks, sit-ups, push-ups. I do a little bit of all of that stuff. I'm trying to be a good steward of the temple, of the body that God gave me, and I bet you do some form of exercise. Or you may be like a friend of mine. When I asked him, what's your best exercise? He said, running up expense accounts and running down people. That's what I specialize in. Well, I hope that's not your speed, but I'm telling you, we are going to look today at an exercise that is not physical, it is spiritual. And I would suggest to you that it is the most important exercise of all. It is the exercise of walking with God. Now, let me direct your attention to the box on the worksheet containing Hebrews 11, 5, and 6, because I believe we can learn a lot from Enoch. Let's make him our exercise coach today, Coach Enoch. He was so effective in his walk with God that he was named to God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, you see some of the people who walked by faith, and they were favored of God. Let's learn here as we look at Hebrews 11. Please direct your attention to that box on the worksheet. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, the whole concept of walking with God means that you believe God is real and his word is true, and consequently, you follow him in everything that you do. That's what it means to walk with God or to follow him. Well, let's pick up that theme as we come to Genesis chapter 5. Now, within Genesis chapter 5, we're very near the beginning of the story of the human family. God is going to grow very, very disgusted with the human family, though. And the next generation after Enoch, they will meet the judgment of God. You see, God is love, but he is also judgment. He is eminently fair. He does what is right. And when people disobey him and hurt each other, he'll bring his judgment. Now, we'll see here a listing of names in the Bible called a genealogical record. And you'll see the name of Adam and Seth and Enosh, Kenan, Mahalal. You'll see the name here of Jared. And then pick up in verse 21 and hear this story. It's as if in this genealogical desert, there's a blooming, beautiful rose, and that rose is named Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch, he did the best exercise. Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. He had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. In this simple, mundane sentence, you'll find a miracle, and we're going to pull it apart, but before we do so, let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank you so much for the invitation that you are offering to everyone here to have a very close, personal, intimate relationship with you, like friends taking a walk. Lord, I pray that we would not only understand this picture of what a real hero looks like, somebody that trusts you in faith, I pray that we would not only see it, but I pray that we would be it. Lord, get me out of the way and allow your spirit to take your truth and apply it to the receptive hearts of your children. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the call of God. He wants to have a friendship relationship with everybody he created. He wants you to be connected to him. He wants you to walk with him. You could also hear Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 19, Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me." That's the core call of Jesus. It's not passive, but it's active. In every way, every day, choose to go the Jesus way. That's what he is inviting us to do, to follow him, to be yoked to him, to abide in him, to be connected to him. That is the picture that God is illustrating here. It's a little bit like marriage. I am yoked to my wife, Mary Ruth. We walk in life together. That doesn't mean we're together every moment, but we are together because we've chosen to be committed to each other in love and loyalty. We share the same purpose and plans. So Mary Ruth and I are walking together, and God wants to invite you into that same type of deep, intimate, real relationship. So let me pull apart, as we explore what it means to walk with God, five features of walking with God, five features. And let's begin here. When you walk with God, you go in God's direction. You go in God's direction. We learn in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, that unless two are agreed, they cannot walk together. In other words, you've got to agree on the same direction. One cannot walk north, the other south. One can't go east, the other west. You've got to say, we're going to go in the same direction together. And certainly that's what it means to become a Christ follower. That's what it means to be saved. You agree with God and you go in his new direction. We learn in Ephesians 5, verse 8, there on your worksheet, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in Christ. So live or walk as children of the light. In other words, you're going a new direction. You've left darkness and you're walking in God's light. It starts like this. Here's step one. Step one comes with a confession. We learn in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The word confess is a Greek word that's a compound word, which is very instructive. It's homo lego. Homo means the same. Lego means to speak. So when you confess, you say the same about yourself as what God has said. In other words, God's given us an indictment. He is saying that we are sinners who have rebelled against his holiness. And because we've rebelled against him and turned our back on him, then that has created a separation. We are not connected to God. We are disconnected. We do not walk with God. We walk away from him. And that creates a big problem. So we've got to start with step one, and that is to confess. In other words, agree with God's verdict that we are lost sinners in need of a Savior. And then how do we respond to that? Well, we respond with humble repentance. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, unless you repent, you will perish. That's a strong and serious statement. The word repent is also a compound word, metanoia. It means meta, like metamorphosis. Meta, change your mind. God is not your enemy. He's your greatest friend. Change your mind. Quit running from God. Turn around. That's what repent means. You turn around and run into his embrace of grace. Run into those nail-scarred hands. Give your life to Jesus Christ. This is a picture of salvation. It's doing a 180. It's turning around. The ultimate New Testament example has got to be Saul in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road. He hates God. He hates the people of God. He is persecuting the church. And what does he do? On Acts chapter 9, he meets God. He does a 180. He turns around. Saul becomes Paul. The persecutor becomes the preacher and the proclaimer. The ultimate adversary becomes the ultimate advocate of the cause of Christ. What a beautiful picture of doing a 180. There are a lot of stories like that. One is coming out in movie form in just a few months. The movie is entitled Unbroken. Have you read the Louis Zamperini story? Oh, it's an amazing story. And it's the story of a man who was an Olympian in 1936. He grew up in California and he could run fast as the wind. And when World War II came along, Louis signed up to be in the Army Air Corps and he was shot down over the Pacific. He somehow survived nearly 50 days in an open raft in the Pacific until he was captured by the Japanese. And then he spent 3.5 years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He was tortured. He was beaten, but they could not break him. That's why they called him Unbroken. But he came back home and his life became a nightmare. Oh, at first he was a hero. He was welcomed with a ticker tape parade. Everybody thought Louis was a hero. He met this beautiful girl named Cynthia and they got married. They had a baby. Oh, everything looked good on the outside, but everything was rotten on the inside. He was broken on the inside. You see, he had been swindled. He lost all of his money. He was a financial wreck. He was broken financially. He was broken emotionally. He became angry. He was filled with nightmares from the stress of the prisoner of war experience. He became a helpless, hopeless alcoholic. His escapism was inside of a bottle. He spent his entire day drinking until 1949. Do you know what happened? In 1949, there was a young evangelist named Billy Graham who came to Los Angeles. He was 30 years old, and he had the first big Billy Graham event there, and over 350,000 people came to hear the gospel proclaimed, and one of them was Cynthia, Louis' wife, and she got radically saved. She did a 180, and she came home glowing with the glow of God. She said, Louis, you got to go. You got to go. He said, no. I don't need God. That religion is for wimps and cripples, and it's a crutch. I don't need any of that. And she continued to love on him, and she begged him, and he went. And he went to hear Billy Graham, but he heard the voice of God, and he did a 180. He had a Damascus Road experience in Los Angeles that night at that crusade. He came home. He found all of his hidden booze stashes, and he poured them down the sink. And he said, from that day forward, I never touched another drop of alcohol. And he became a person who served Christ with his best. He actually became a minister for the rest of his life. What a story, 180. It reminds me of the story of Ken Love in our own church. I mean, 15 years ago, Ken Love's Damascus Road was Highway 231 leading down to Troy. He heard WLBF, and he pulled over at where Sykes and Cons is, the store where you buy jeans and boots. And there, he realized he was bought by the blood of Jesus, and he did a 180. Ken Love gave his life to Christ. Never has touched another drop of addictive alcohol, gave up gambling. The Lord changed him 180 in a moment like that. That's called conversion. The word means with change. That's what happens when you come to Christ. That's what it means to walk with God and go His direction. And friend, I'm here to tell you right now that God is calling to your heart. And you can either hear His voice and receive His call, or you can stonewall. You can turn a deaf ear to the call of God and go on your own. But you are doing it at your own peril, because Jesus said, if you do not repent and turn to Me and go My direction, you will perish. So go God's direction. That's what it means to be saved. Number two, you go at God's pace. You go at God's pace. Please make that note here on number two. And I want you to understand how Jesus described this opportunity to walk with God. He compared it to a yoke. Now, this is a paradox, because Generally, a yoke is a picture of a burden, but Jesus says, no, the yoke is that you're going to walk with me and it will be a blessing. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Please note it on your worksheet, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, when you're yoked to Jesus, and here's how yoke work. You would take two, this is a wooden assembly, and you would have two loops of wood. And the design of the yoke is to put two oxen in it and then attach it to a plow, and you would plow the ground for your crops. That's what you would use a yoke for, just in case you didn't know that. Some of you are not too agrarian oriented, I know. So that's what happens with a yoke. Now, the picture is when you're yoked to Jesus, you got a partner, the ultimate partner, but you're yoked to him, you're tied to him. So it's a mandatory that you go at his pace. That's what it means to be yoked to the Lord. You go to his place at his pace. You're yoked to him. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever gone on a walk with a small child? You see, it's kind of fun to be a parent and go on walks with your children, but sometimes it's kind of a difficult thing to get them to keep pace with you, isn't it? On countless occasions over at our house when the kids were little, Mary Ruth would fix supper, and then if the kids had a little extra energy, we would go on a family walk. We would head down to Jeff Davis High School. We lived over in that neighborhood, and I can remember on a lot of occasions our little Alex, oh, my Alex is so precious. She's our youngest of the four wolf cubs. And little Alex, she had a strong will, a strong mind, and we would say, okay, we're going to go on a family walk. And Alex would say, no, I don't want to go on a walk. I'm tired. I've worked hard all day long. And so we would be good parents and establish boundaries and let her know who's in charge and take her by the hand and say, yes, Alex, we're going for a walk. And so I would be the designated walkie of Alex. And so here would be Alex, and you know, just my arm is stretching behind me because she doesn't want to go. And here's how Alex is going, you know, she's just like kind of walking like this, stiff-legged. I don't want to go, dawdling, whining, distracted. She wants to go play with this puppy in the neighbor's yard. I mean, that's how kids are. But aren't we that away? The Lord says, yoke in here with me. Come on. I got a job to do. I want you to go with me. You're going to serve my purpose. You're going to plow my field. And what do? We resist. We're stubborn. We balk. We dawdle. We don't want to go. We don't want to grow. That's a picture of a lot of us. So I'm going to ask you this question. When you examine your walk with the Lord, are you going slow? Are you going fast? Or perhaps you're synchronized with the Lord. See, that's his goal. He wants you to be synchronized with him. He doesn't want you to slow down. He doesn't want you to speed up. I've seen people who get ahead of the Lord. They become impatient. They want to have instant spiritual growth in the same way you have instant grits or instant oatmeal in the microwave. It doesn't work that way. You know, you see these ads. We live in this Twitter world, don't we? We want everything condensed to 140 characters. We want to have it all figured out and get it fast. That's why we're susceptible. That's why we sucker to these ads that say, 15 minutes a day and you too can have washboard abs like me. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney. You're not going to get washboard abs in 15 minutes of just sitting around eating Cheetos. Then you're not going to get spiritual maturity by just every now and then taking about 140 characters out of the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. This takes work. You've got to be yoked to the Lord. And the goal of God is for you not to be impatient, not to be too fast or too slow. I like the way one person put it. Don't be in a rush. Be patient and true. God can make a mighty oak from a nut like you. It's about how it works. And that's what he's calling us to do. Work with him. Walk with him. Be synchronized to the Savior. Be in the yoke with him and go at his pace. And number three, make this note. You see, when you walk with God, you go where God leads. You go where God leads. And as I've thought deeply about what it means to walk with God, two great truths emerge for me. The first is found in Psalm 23:3 there on your worksheet. He guides me to right paths for His name's sake. He guides me to right paths for His name's sake. This means that God leads us in paths of righteousness. In other words, we do what is right because we're rightly related to Him. We live love. We live the golden rule. We treat others like we want to be treated. We do what is right. Now, evidently, Enoch held up the banner of righteousness in his day. He did what was right. And he lived in a raw and raunchy and raucous day. It is so raw, raunchy, and raucous that God wiped him out with the flood in the next generation. You can understand what kind of day Enoch lived in. It's the kind of day that we're living in, friends. That's all the more reason to be people of purity, to be people who do what is right in the name of Jesus so we don't bring shame to His name. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I don't want to dishonor my Heavenly Father's name. You don't either. So He'll lead us in paths of righteousness. And then notice this. Notice when we follow Jesus, where He led His disciples. It's the same place He wants to lead me and you. The Scripture tells us in Mark 10:45 on your worksheet, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. In other words, Christ leads us to emulate Him, to be His agents in this world, to be His servants and ambassadors. You see, that's where He'll lead us. Jesus led His disciples, we learn in John chapter 4, over into Samaria. Well, good Jews didn't go into Samaria. Do you know why He led them there? To explode their prejudices so that they might know that everybody counts in the economy of God. Oh, He led them to Jericho so that they could pull down Zacchaeus from that tree. He led them over to the Sea of Galilee so that they could walk on water with Him. He led them over to Gethsemane so they could bend their wills to God's. He leads them up bloody Calvary so that we could take up our cross and be like Him, denying ourselves, giving ourselves, risking ourselves in Jesus' name to spread His gospel, to spread His fame. That's what He wants us to do. My friend, He wants to lead you. So I would urge you, when you walk with God, follow His lead. You're not in charge. Let Him lead. Number four, here's a fourth feature. You go with God's companionship. You go with God's companionship. This is such a beautiful picture, walking with God. And it reminds me of what it's like to travel somewhere with a friend. You develop a deep bond and a relationship when you're traveling with a friend. I have traveled very broadly with my wife, Mary Ruth. We traveled in America. We've traveled in Europe. We've traveled throughout Africa, South America. We've traveled a lot together. And I love to travel with her because when you see something spectacular, I can share it with her. And that makes all of the joys doubled and the troubles cut in half. That's how it works when you've got a companion that you're working with and walking through life with. That's what the Lord wants to be to me and you. He wants to be that consistent companion that you can always count on. You see, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:5, please note it on your worksheet, God is speaking and He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In other words, you can count on Him. Though it's a time of difficulty or delight, He will never leave you alone. Look at Romans 8, verse 35. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who has loved us. Nothing will separate us from Him. That's the core of the gospel, that God will always be with us. He'll always be beside us. The year was 1975. I was going to be a junior at Baylor University, and I spent the summer before my junior year with a man named Henry Blackaby. Some of you have done his study called Experiencing God. Well, I went that summer to spend a summer of mission with Henry Blackaby before anybody had heard of him. But he captured my heart. He and Marilyn and their five kids were fantastic examples of what it meant to be a biblical hero, to follow the Lord into a field of faith and find His victory. One of the things that Henry talked about, and he hammered into my heart and into my Christian vocabulary, is practicing the presence of God. are being Christ conscious. He said, you can practice the presence of God because He's all around you. You can meet Jesus in the pages of His Word, but you can also meet Jesus in the faces of His people. You can meet Jesus in the circumstances of life. It may be a stormy day or pure sunshine, but you can encounter the Lord if you'll be conscious of Him because He's all around you. That's the way God wants us to live. He wants to have you practice His presence, be aware of His constant companionship. Well, let me give you number five, and we're through. Number five, you go to God's destination. That's what it means to walk with God. You go to God's destination. Maybe it was a little bit like this with Enoch. One day, Enoch was walking along with God, and the Lord said, Enoch, we've traveled a long way today, and I think we're closer to my house than to yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? And he did. One day it'll be like that for me and you. One day as we travel the path with the Lord, as the days grow dim, we'll take Him by hand of faith. And they'll say, Jay, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come on home with me? And I'll walk through the doorway of death and into the light of His unbroken love for eternity. That's what it means to follow the Lord. He will take you to His ultimate destination, which is heaven. Please note that most important scripture of all, it's in John chapter 14. Jesus has just described to His disciples what it will be like when they die. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. That place is heaven, friend. And then He tells us how to get there. John 14, verse 6 is the pathway. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the singular Savior. He is the only pathway to salvation. That's what He is declaring here. So when we walk with God, what are we doing? We're not pursuing principles. We are developing a relationship with a person that lasts forever. Well, let's pray about it. Dear Father, thank You. Thank You for this extraordinary, magnificent invitation to walk with You. Lord, we don't have to walk alone in this dangerous, difficult, deadly, disease-filled, fallen world. Lord, You want to be walking with us as our way, truth, and life. It would be so foolish to turn down this fabulous offer of fellowship. Lord, I pray that if there are some people here today and they don't sense that they are connected to You, that today would be their Damascus Road day, the day when they have a divine appointment to meet You and change. I pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.